The first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 15. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words are found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Thus, therefore, says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, and not you who will turn to them. And I will make you, to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read responsively the verses of Psalm 26. The piano side will read the light print. The courtyard side will read the bold print. And I will read all the verses. Give me judgment, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you. I have not sat with the worthless, nor do I consort with the deceitful. I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, O Lord, that I may go in procession round your altar, singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and recounting all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glory abides. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come forward.
School is just around the corner. We've been talking. Yeah, I see that. It's your birthday. And first day of school is your birthday too. It's a big day. 8 years old. I know it's a big one. Double round things. Remember that.
Yeah. Wait,
I've only
got one round. Zero.
You're zero on your original day of your birth, your hairy round zero. And you were round little baby.
Six.
This has some round in it too. Okay. Now, as we prepare for school, I think you might all be, are you all past the point of show and tell?
Yes.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of like.
No, I don't even know if
we've
ever actually had it.
Your school gets to pass show and tell? Or you want to do show and tell stuff?
Yeah, that's the only time I did that. Wasn't really
except for,
like,
I feel like before I was like the whole class day, really. It was just kind of like talking.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes people join.
Yeah, so sometimes show and tell isn't, you know, the most exciting. Well, what if it was just tell?
No.
No?
No. 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 That's not what it
has.
But that's just having a conversation.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus had a lot of conversations with his disciples, and he was telling them a lot of things. But I bet even the Lord, if all he did was tell, people might have fallen asleep. Later, one of his disciples is preaching and talking and telling, and then a young man who was listening fell asleep, fell out the window. Yeah. It was that bad.
It's just like sleep.
In the book of Acts.
He was sleeping, and then he walked over to the window. Like,
now he was sleeping in the window, so.
Like, wait, what do you call the tower?
It's another story for another day.
How cool.
So, if Jesus just told, that probably wouldn't work. But you know what? He did tell and show.
No.
Now, what if I just told you, and you've never done it before, load up the dishwasher and get it started?
Well, I probably would not
laugh. You probably just wouldn't do it? That's the problem.
I would try and just open the dishwasher, take dishes out, put them on the floor, close the door, and then have a
say, I don't think it would end well. If Micah tried doing it, he might accidentally, blow something up. As I say, it just doesn't work. But here's the good thing. Jesus doesn't just tell, he also shows. So you, my kiddos anyway, have been loading dishwashers more lately, and Mom and I have been showing. We're kind of working out how to do that. And if Jesus similarly just told his disciples, his friends, those who he's teaching, this is what to do, go on, do it, it does not work nearly as well as the way he showed. He showed by healing with his own hands. He showed by loving people. He showed by hanging out with the people that nobody wants to hang out with. They're afraid to. Jesus didn't show anybody how to load the dishwasher. No. But all the good things in life, I think the Lord shows, need to be shown and not just told.
Also, dishwashers didn't exist back then.
Yeah. That's a good point. There weren't even dishwashers
then.
Will you pray with me, my friends?
How dare they not be?
Lord, we thank you for your tell and show. We thank you for your word, and we thank you especially for your word in action. Show us how to be your people in this world and to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may go back to your seats.
Indeed, how does one show the people whom they love that they must die at the hands of their enemies? There are, of course, a lot of things Jesus does that scarcely any of us can understand, for better and for worse. But I know I can get the wrong idea about this sometimes. I'll sit in a circle of Jesus' followers and then we might marvel about how dopey those fools are, those disciples, that they couldn't get the message through their heads on so many accounts. We read throughout the Gospels that Jesus had to reiterate this concept that he would have to die this way again and again. He would be raised, hallelujah! But first, he had to die, a shameful and degrading death. There's a lot in the scripture that is hard to translate across time and culture to today, not the least of which is the contemptibility of the crucified in Roman-occupied territory. We live on the other side of the cross. Hallelujah! But it makes sense to us, at least kinda. Sort of, in the sense that it makes sense that it doesn't make sense. All we have known for generations upon generations is the doctrine of victory over death achieved by Christ on the cross, crucified and resurrected. But hindsight can easily be 20/20. Foresight, not as much. Peter and his peers had to live on the opposite side of the cross from us. It's easy to say that we would have faith if we could just see, touch, physically experience Jesus' presence among us. I said that for most of my growing up. I didn't understand faith. I don't entirely understand it now, mind you. But I really didn't get it then. It wasn't really so easy for them who had Jesus in their very midst, real in bodily form to them as the bread we break and the fruit of the vine we drink is to us. It was harder, really, I'm afraid, to believe what Jesus showed them right before their very eyes. It is interesting, and it often escapes notice, that Matthew's gospel describes Jesus as beginning to show his disciples he must go to the cross. It's more than sitting around in a circle, perhaps, like those of us contemporary ponderers, and delivering a scholarly lecture. No, Jesus lived out the rest of his days showing, living, embodying, doing the journey to the cross. And it's a show. It is hard. It is painful. It's unbearable, as Peter demonstrates, to watch. Peter, I'm sure, thought he was being a good and kind friend to Jesus. And Jesus kind of snaps at him. It's a little harsh in this dialogue, but he is forcefully making a point. That's how he spoke. But in his showing, he is gentle. Maddeningly, infuriatingly gentle. He's got nothing more harsh than sharp words for the Pharisees, for the Sadducees, for the scribes, for the rulers, healing touches for war fighters and armed guards. And that makes little sense now, and no sense, really, BC, before Christ. It's not how victory is won. It's not how enemies are defeated. They must be the ones humiliated. Just listen to the prophet Jeremiah and to the psalmist. They expected, and we are still often no different, for the holiness of God to rain down retribution on persecutors and declare sinners worthless. Worthless sinner that I am, Martin Luther wrote in his sermon on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I should get all worked up and turn a mean statement into a huge plank. And I would add to Luther's words, if God should punish and wipe out our enemies for their sin and for doing harm, then what should happen when we deserve our own punishment? Grace for me and to hell with thee is not a sustainable way to operate. Much as many a sinful, human, designed, and perpetuated system seems to want to try anyway, all throughout time, to the detriment of so many poor and tortured souls. And to add insult to injury, the abuse and unjustly killed are often written off and blamed for their own calamity. Why were they in that neighborhood at that hour? Why was she wearing such a thing to that party? Why didn't they just study harder and get a better and safer job? Why don't they just go and fix their own mess of a country? Why didn't he just follow the officer's commands? Why is it that this list could just go on and on and on? Peter and the rest of Jesus' disciples had a good thing going. No, it wasn't easy, but Jesus was making the world a better place. And no conceivable path would involve humiliation, death, and abject failure. But Jesus began to show them. And he continued to show them. He told them, too, for sure. But he practiced what he preached to the end, and to no end. He showed them he would stop at nothing, endure what is the inevitable consequence confronting an oppressive and evil system, and yet rise above it. He showed us. And it's not a show to be enjoyed passively. It can't merely be watched. That's not it. It's a show of inspiration, of determination, of persistence, of faith. That despite what can be seen and what seems so obvious, that going to the depths of the lowest low of death does not preclude the ascent to an unprecedented height of new and abundant life. In fact, it is necessary. It is a show in which we are not spectators, but participants. It's a show where the message is often sorely misunderstood. For it's not about acceptance of injustice, but a commitment to taking any and all means necessary to oppose and to challenge it. And the show must go on. Amen.